You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Welcome back to Ravens Weekly. This is episode 101. My name is Matt Hall and I'm joined, as ever, by Jeff Hutton. Jeff, how are we doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
I don't know why we're laughing. We're back on the podcast, everyone. And honestly, last week was, we'll touch on it in a moment, but last week was obviously not very much of us and a lot of Andrea and Charlotte. But again, we'll catch up.
Best on episode ever.
It was to mark episode 100, so I think it was quite fitting, really. And we've got so much coming up on today's show for you, including a look back at the two games just gone. And of course, looking at the new signings who've joined up in the past week, as well as a preview of the big game at home tomorrow. As we're recording on Friday, we welcome Wrexham, inform Wrexham, to Hayes Lane in what is sure to be a massive game. And we'll also catch up on the FA Trophy draw as well. Last episode, Jeff, obviously, episode 100, we wanted to make it something really special. And it tied in really nicely with not only International Women's Day, but actually as a football club, it was more like International Women's Week for us.
Yeah, like you say, I think Charlotte and Andrea did a fantastic job with the podcast, Matt. And I'm sure that's not going to be the last time we get them on board and get them involved. Like I say, some of the comments that came in from social media and email was brilliant. I think everyone thoroughly enjoyed the episode. But like you say, bigger than that, the activities that took on all week, mainly led by Andrea and the Trust, were absolutely brilliant. Like I say, was it over 120 girls, I think, in the end, taking part in football during that week? And just a really good job from Chloe as well, the media and communications assistant, on telling the stories of females from across the club, whether it was volunteer, whether it was players, whether it was staff, coaches, etc. Really, 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 really good work, really, really important work. And yeah, it was just fantastic to see.
Absolutely. So a big thank you to Andrea and Charlotte. It was certainly an enjoyable listen and a week off for you and me, which doesn't happen very often. Back to the football side of things then. And of course, the Saturday game saw us welcome Solihull Moors in the quarterfinal of the FA Trophy.
Two games in Wembley.
Honestly, and what a fantastic day that was. We had a fantastic attendance at soccer school in the morning. All of the children were invited
second
back to the
highest,
game.
Second highest, wasn't it?
It was the second highest ever.
30, something like that. It was absolutely brilliant. Like you say, hopefully we're going to beat that this Saturday. The
fingers
sun's
crossed.
Shining.
And the sun was shining last week, wasn't it?
Definitely. And again, it's solid crowd. We were over 2,000, weren't we? Or just under?
Just under.
Yeah.
About 35 under, which is incredible, given obviously season ticket holders don't get their tickets for the cup games included on that. And the away support, big respect to all of them who made the journey, wasn't huge. So that's a lot of our own supporters, which was brilliant to see in the sunshine.
100%.
Right then, let's recap on the game itself. It was a fantastic victory for Bromley by 3-1 on the day. Here's the commentary and how it all went down.
From the B team.
Here come Solihull. We'll run through the team shortly. Osborne here coming forward, playing it down the line to Clark. Clark leaves Whiteley on his backside there. Clark pulls it back into the box towards, and it's in. And it's an early goal for Solihull. The visitors have the lead here. And it's an unfortunate start for Bromley. The first attack of the afternoon. And it's Callum Maycock with the goal, a finish from close range. Dan, exactly how Bromley wouldn't have wanted to start.
No, I said I wanted a quick start, and it's just a slip by Chris Bush or Corey Whiteley. I can't quite think who it was out there on that left-hand side playing in that left-back role. I think it was Chris Bush, just slipped and allowed his man into the box, ball across the box, and a few deflections, and it's an easy finish right in the centre of the Bromley goal, and not the start that Bromley wanted this afternoon.
Takes it onto his left. Scoops it into the box. Here's Arthurs. Great touch from Arthurs. Opportunity to shoot. Plays it into the box. Maybe again. Comes to Cheek. It's in. Michael Cheek with the equaliser. Hits it in for a deflection. And Bromley are back level. It'll be scrappy, but Bromley won't care. Bromley are level. And it's Michael Cheek, that man again. And wins it back. Here's Arthurs. Cheek's in space. Played into Michael Cheek. Will he go for the shot? Takes the touch. Cheek still. And it's into the net. And Michael Cheek has his second goal of the game. It's another one that takes a deflection. But once again, he won't care. Brilliant play from Jude Arthurs. Excellent from Byron Webster to win the ball. And Bromley have a deserved lead.
I just thought I'm going to get rid of this now.
And James Alabi takes it away from Osborne here. James Alabi strolling through the challenges into the box. Still James Alabi goes to the shot and scores, and surely seals it for Bromley. A goal of his own making. James Alabi brushes off Gudger and Howell like they're not even there and finishes past Boot, and it's 3-1 to Bromley.
Yeah, really good finish by Alabi. Done really well to just drive at the Solihull defence. The ball was just bouncing awkwardly for him, and he managed to just get the better of Gudger. Gudger was never going to keep up with him, and he just saw off Gudger and brilliantly placed into the bottom right-hand corner.
A great job from yourself and Dan, that commentary. A fantastic game, and a great way to book a place in the semi-final.
The performance was outstanding, wasn't it? I think all of the fans left here absolutely buzzing after that one. Even going a goal down 2 minutes
Trotter
in.
Trotter was my MOM, I think. I know the new guy, the worldie, but...
Trotter was fantastic. He was all over the pitch, as were most of the team. Honestly, from back to front, the team
had
an absolute worldie on the day. And let's not forget, Solihull are a very, very good team, and we're on a fantastic run of form.
You look at their games before that, they were literally, it was end-to-end football. Whenever they retained possession, they were off on an attack.
3-3 against Notts County, the game before they played us, so absolutely phenomenal performance. It really was a joy to watch that day. Made better by fantastic weather and a brilliant crowd as well, great atmosphere. And of course, that meant... we were in the hat come Monday.
For the semi-final. The draw, what was it, 3:15 in the afternoon?
3:15, yeah.
Well, I don't know why. Why was that late? But anyway. But no easy draws, cup game, anything can happen. But if you wanted to choose who you were going to play and where you were going to play it, most of the people listening, I imagine, would have chosen York at home.
Yes. Given that the other two teams are Stockport, that's no disrespect to York, given that the other two teams were Stockport and Wrexham.
Not at all, they've gone and beaten Dagenham, absolutely fantastic. They're in the semi-final with us, absolutely no doubt. But when you look at the three options available to you and locations, you would have chosen that. And to be fair to York, other than us being there, they would have probably chosen us.
I think they would, yeah. I mean, York are a side in great form as well. We look at the form table now. They're currently seventh in the National League North, but they've won 4 out of their last 6. And the other two were draws. They haven't lost for a while. So it's going to be an entertaining game. They'll bring a good support. The atmosphere, I'm sure, will be electric on the day.
We're really looking forward to it. It's going to be unbelievable here.
Not only that, Jeff, but it ties in very nicely with the opening of Broomfield.
Very much looking forward to that, 100%. I know, I mean, literally, we've got the soft opening stuff happening earlier on that week, haven't we? I know the season ticket holders have invited down for an exclusive, same with the sponsors. Saturday morning soccer school, Matt. We're going to be signing there in Saturday morning for the first time, which is going to be brilliant for the parents and for the kids. And then, like you say, it's just the whole day is just going to be absolutely mad. It's just going to be a fantastic atmosphere. Touch with the weather's going to be like it has recently. We're going to have an all ticket sold out ground, full of both York and Bromley fans, and all of it knowing that you're 90 minutes plus stoppage time, or maybe even penalties, away from a return to Wembley. It just doesn't get much bigger.
Crazy, isn't it? On that note, and particularly on the Broomfields note,
We should be honest, I don't know why we're not down there recording it in Broomfields at the moment. Well, it's absolutely beautiful down there.
Hold that thought. We're definitely doing that, aren't we, in the next couple of weeks. It has taken shape so much over the past few weeks, and I think there was a day where we came in the following day and just the progress that had been made in 24 hours was absolutely incredible. It looks the part.
I think you had a day off, something was 2 days later.
It might have been, yeah, it might have been. Just wanted to get that in there, didn't he? And also, you know, we'll hear more about it in a minute, but just the fans, they genuinely want to know what's going on in there. When they come down to the games, they're having a little nose around outside. It's really been fantastic to see how well it's been received. It is a massive thing for this football club, and it is going to be something outside of football that is a really important part of the operation.
I don't know, probably go to it's going to have a better facility, really. AFC Fylde, maybe, when they're in our league, they had that Bradley Sports Bar.
It's lovely, but this is bigger, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, honestly, I think it's going to be an absolutely fantastic atmosphere, and it's going to be a challenge, certainly, for all involved. That launch week, we've got all those soft openings, and then we're going straight in with probably the biggest game of the season so far for all the staff and that. So I know, I'm sure all the supporters are going to obviously provide us with their patience and understanding, and know that, you know, it's a very, very busy first week for all the staff involved. And I think the most important thing is that we have a safe opening to everything, the whole day goes well, and win or lose, Matt, I think it's going to be busy in there afterwards. And yeah, it would just be great to finally have it open and forget the name, forget the brand, forget whatever. Just the ability to go and get a pint at half time, grab something to eat. What can you not be happy about?
And how about as well the entrance / exit to the bar being
the tunnel.
A tunnel.
Physically, literally a tunnel. You're going to be walking out of the tunnel into the stadium.
Beautiful.
It's amazing.
We're really looking forward to it, as you can tell. Someone else who's looking forward to
saying that, Ravens Chat had a sneak peek.
They did, yes. Ravens Chat did. Our fantastic group of guys and girls at Ravens Chat had a little tour, didn't they? Andy also got involved with that one and gave them a little tour of the new building in general as well and showed them all about what he does during the day with the team and everything else and the meetings that happen. So really very much enjoyed that was. I can tell you the feedback coming in from the guys and girls was absolutely brilliant. But someone else who is excited about the opening of Broomfield is new head of marketing, Charlotte Richardson. I managed to have almost an in conversation with Charlotte about the Broomfield's opening, about her role here at the football club, and here's what she had to say. Charlotte Richardson, welcome. Well, I'll say welcome to Ravens Weekly. You actually hosted it last week. We'll talk about that in a minute. But overall, welcome to Bromley Football Club. You join us as marketing manager, and you seem really, really excited to take this next step and go on this journey with us.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be a part of the football club. Matt, obviously, I know the club really well. I've been visited Hayes Lane a number of times, but to have the opportunity to come board in this marketing capacity with so much to look forward to over the next few months is really exciting. I feel like I've been here for ages. The team have been really, really welcoming. I've had the chance to meet a number of supporters as well, and like I say, I'm just kind of oozing with excitement and just the general vibe around the place right now. It's incredible to be a part of.
And a large part of that excitement, both for yourself, both for all of us and the supporters as well, is of course the opening of Broomfield, which is coming up very soon, isn't it? And something that you're working really, really hard on, isn't it?
It is. It's coming up very, very soon. We're opening up Broomfields on Saturday, the 2nd of April, which coincides with our FA Trophy semi-final, which is going to be amazing. Lots of hard work going on across the football club, getting all of the details right, from the facility to our opening day offers and so on. We've got a number of taster events that we're doing in the build up to it, so I've been kind of very hands on in terms of our branding, our initial offers, getting things like our social media channels up and running, and just generally creating a bit of a buzz around it, because there aren't many football clubs launching brand new bars and kitchens at the moment, and we're breaking the mould to a certain degree. There's no formula or recipe, for want of a pun, on how to do it right or how to do it perfectly, but I'm a big advocate and share the chairman's vision around the importance of football clubs being sustainable, and for me this is very, very exciting. This is a step in the right direction. It's building on the momentum on the pitch, off the pitch, and the fact that it coincides with the FA Trophy semi-final being at home is incredible. So yeah, there is lots going on, lots to keep me busy, and just really looking forward to that countdown.
And the excitement's been shared by the fans as well, hasn't it? Obviously coming to the game the Saturday just gone, they're all walking up here to sort of have a nose at what's going on. It looks really impressive, doesn't it? And of course season ticket holders are getting have already got a special invite.
Yes, so season ticket holders are invited down and in the week building up to our event on Saturday the 2nd of April, because of course this is a brand new operations for the football club. It's a 500 capacity venue, and we're opening up our doors to lots and lots of people in one go. So season ticket holders have been invited to come and take a little glimpse, to enjoy some free food on us, and to taste and trial the menu, to be there as well for our staff, so they can get a kind of flow for how the venue works. And we have said to our season ticket holders, you know, please do come down, show us, we'll have a chat with Andy, the chairman, and so on, and just be mindful of the fact this is a new team, and we're going to be kind of working it out and ironing it out as we go along. It's not going to be perfect, but we're going to get there as fast as we possibly can, and it will just be a really nice opportunity. I spoke to the manager this morning about it all and about meeting and kind of interacting with fans after, you know, the last few years with COVID and so on. It's actually quite a nice timing to be opening this and being sociable and connecting, but of course looking to that bigger picture of more than just a Saturday afternoon, for making this place a venue that people want to come to 7 days a week. There's always going to be stuff going on the pitch, but with the screens we've got, with the menu, the food, the drinks offer, we want to kind of widen our scope and our footfall throughout the week. So that's kind of my responsibility of how we do that, how we market that, and we are trying really hard with the offers that we're doing on that Saturday. The chairman has very kindly agreed to buy everyone their first drink from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, so I would advise supporters to get here early and enjoy that. And then from 1 o'clock to 7, we're offering half price on our drink. Food will be available for people to purchase. And then at 7 o'clock, we've got a DJ coming on just to kind of build that atmosphere and make it a venue that people want to stay and enjoy, and then maybe invite their friends and family that aren't football fans along. I think one of the questions I've been asked by supporters most is around the branding. Lots of people have said, oh, how come you didn't, you know, use the gold and the red, black colour palette of the football club? And the idea being that Broomfields is a part of Bromley, it's a part of our identity, but it's something a bit distinct as well. We want to kind of appeal to a really broad market as well. So Broomfields, with the name and the links with our heritage, is very much a part of our identity, but it was actually a deliberate move. And people will understand that more, I think, when they come and visit the facility and see the furniture we've selected, feel the vibe of the place as well. And I think it's all these little different bits of the jigsaw puzzle that I think are coming together really nicely, and hopefully it'll be a really memorable day for everyone involved on the 2nd of April.
And clearly you're looking to engage with the fans, and it was something you were able to do when you were thrown into the fans forum, I'll say, onto the floor, where you were able to meet some of them for the first time and obviously share your vision, and Shem was able to share his vision about what Broomfields is.
I think it's fantastic as a football club that Bromley hosts fans forums like that, so supporters can hear firsthand from the leadership team what the vision is, what's going on. And I think that's mirrored in the fact that when people do come and visit the club, the thing they say about us as a team is how close-knit we are. I mean, this is my second week at the football club, yet I feel like I've been here for ages, and I hadn't actually started, but I wanted to go to the fans forum because I wanted to meet people. And I was just so heartwarmed by the reception, and the number of fans that came up to me wanting to help and support was really fantastic. And it further underlines to me what a family community club it is here, and the foundations are so solid, and the roots of the football club are there. I guess it's now with those solid foundations in place just growing as much as possible, and I'm really confident we can do that, and we're going to be doing it with the support of the fans, launching Broomfields, everything that we want to do. It's only going to get there as a team effort, and the supporters are very much a part of that.
And finally, away from Broomfields and away from that side of things, you're a seasoned broadcaster yourself, and you actually hosted Ravens Weekly with Andrea Ellis, our Women and Girls Development Officer for the Community Sports Trust, last week. Did you enjoy that?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And for those that probably aren't aware, I do commentary work and media work alongside marketing, and throughout the pandemic, with the way that the BBC were operating, I ended up basically just kind of, this was my second home throughout COVID. The only other place I was allowed to go outside of my own home was Hayes Lane, and I got to cover the club week in, week out pretty much, and you know, saw the way that the season had turned and that shift to getting in the playoffs, which was really special, and to be here on that final day of the season when supporters could come and be a part of that. It's just funny, you know, it's a funny old world, really, how things turn out. And that's something I'm really passionate about as well. And I think the club's very lucky to have individuals like Andrea and yourself and many others that are really comfortable in presenting that kind of content, doing things like this, which we shouldn't take for granted, because not every football club does it. And hopefully that's, again, something that we can build upon a little bit more. I've got a couple of ideas that I'd like to introduce. And I think just kind of keep watching this space. The football club is on an upward trajectory, and I'm really excited to be a part of it. And obviously presenting that podcast was a real pleasure for me, because it's fantastic to be a part of a football club that really values women and girls football, and for it to be my first week and to see the amount of profiling the club was doing and to see the number of women working in here, like, it's just so refreshing, and it's very much a part of why I wanted to join. I haven't worked in full-time football for a while, and that's what enticed me back, really, along with the vision of the chairman and the ambition. And it feels very much like home already, so I'm just loving being here.
Great to have you on board, and thanks for a second appearance on the podcast in 2 weeks. Thank you, Charlotte.
Lovely little conversation there, Matt. Like I say, I think Charlotte's hit the ground running, hasn't she, in terms of joining us, and from the fans forum onwards, it's been non-stop for her.
Absolutely. It's been a very, very busy time. She's been working very, very hard, and there's not long really until the opening of Broomfield, so there's been a lot of work going on behind the scenes with regards to that and other wider things that are going to be going on. But look, it's really exciting. The branding, just seeing it all come together, is amazing, and yeah, I think everyone shares our excitement and we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, most certainly. And it's busy time both on and off the pitch, Matt. Obviously back on the football front, further strengthening of the squad.
Yes, Andy promised it last week, didn't he? In his interview actually about signing Ali Hamadi, he said, look, there's going to be another one coming. And that one was James Vennings, who was announced on the day of the Halifax fixture, thrown straight into it, made his debut in that 1-0 defeat. Looked tidy, I thought, on the night, put in a good shift, worked hard. And he's a player that, look, has played against Bromley so many times over the years for Charlton under-23s, scored the winner in a pre-season friendly here on one occasion for Charlton, and has spent the first part of the season with Aldershot Town, another player that partnered Scott Wagstaff in midfield in Bromley's 3-2 victory earlier on this season away at Aldershot. An exciting young player, clearly very happy to be here. I had the pleasure of catching up with him earlier, and here's what he had to say.
I was going to say, talking about that, we're not going to gloss over Halifax. There's not much to say about it, is there?
No.
Should we talk about it now?
It wasn't our night, was it? 1-0 defeat, great goal. Not really too much else to say, is there, I think.
Perfect, we covered that well.
Here we go, here's James Vennings.
James Vennings, a big welcome to Bromley Football Club. Pleased to be here.
Yeah, buzzing. Obviously, been on loan at Aldershot for the first half of the season. Couldn't extend it there, so yeah, wanted to get out again. Yeah, and I'm buzzing to be here, yeah.
And you've played here at Hayes Lane quite a few times for Charlton over the years, but it must have changed a fair bit since you first came down here.
Yeah, I've played here many times. I've never seen like this back building bit. I've never been inside it, so yeah, it looks lovely. It's just all the new developments and stuff. It's really nice facility, so yeah.
So talking through your career, obviously you made your debut for Charlton in the Championship, which must have been an incredible experience and a very proud moment for you.
Yeah, of course, that's what you dream of as a kid. So yeah, making my debut was ultimately what I was working towards. Haven't been able to keep myself around the first team for long enough, to be honest, so getting out on loan has been perfect for me, so yeah.
And one of those was Aldershot Town, obviously. What's your thoughts on the National League as a competition and the football that's played in it?
Very physical. Had to learn that quickly. Still learning it, to be fair. But yes, there's some very good technical players in this league as well. So it's got that good balance of being physical and being technical as well. So yeah, I'm enjoying it.
And obviously, Charlton renowned for bringing through young players and yourself as well as your own talent playing alongside some very good other players as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent at Charlton, a lot of good experienced pros in the first team as well, which are helping develop the young talent. So yeah, it's a good club to be at, yeah.
Been a whirlwind of the first week. We're only just catching up now. Obviously, you've had a few training sessions under your belt now, and obviously, Tuesday aside, how's training been for you so far?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been short and sharp. Been a lot of good possessions, little mini games and stuff. So yeah, I've been enjoying it. It's been good.
And obviously, Tuesday, the game, great for you to make your debut. Obviously, not the result we were hoping for.
Yeah, obviously, great to make my debut. Tough game against a good team. I thought we had some good spells in the game, but ultimately we didn't pick up the 3 points, and that's something we'll be looking to do tomorrow.
It's a crucial period ahead now, and that all starts tomorrow. First home game for you, and what a big one it is against Wrexham as well.
Yeah, another big dog. So, the games you want to be playing in. Look forward to it, and hopefully we can pick up 3 points.
James, great to have you on board. Welcome.
Thank you.
Great to hear from him, Matt. Obviously, in all seriousness, talking about Halifax, Matt, very, you know, good side. I don't think we were at our best in any shape or form, but you can see why they've got the best home league record in the league, Matt.
They move the ball about really well, don't they? They're very difficult to break down. I felt that we had the opportunity to do that on a couple of occasions, had a couple of good chances, just didn't fall for us on the night. They're very direct side. You can see why they've got the record they have. I think they won 12 out of their last 15 in all competitions prior to that as well. They were just a very well-drilled side. Good support on the night as well. The fans were really getting behind them. Big shout-out, of course, to the 44 Bromley fans who made the journey up there. It was obviously at the second time of asking, and some of those will have made the journey up on the first occasion as well, which was a wasted journey. So not our night overall, but look, it's not really a place we have much luck at. We won there last season in the COVID conditions. But prior to that, I don't think I'd ever seen us win there before. So not a happy hunting ground for us, but we move on, like you say.
I was going to say, great chance to put it right, Matt. Wrexham at home this Saturday.
Absolutely. I'm just looking at the table now. Wrexham currently in fourth place and they've won all of their last five games. It is going to be a really tough game tomorrow. However, we are at home. Hopefully the crowd can get behind us and we can see a similar kind of performance that we saw against Solihull Moors last week, hopefully without the early goal for the opposition. But
hopefully another big crowd, Matt. 3,000 plus would be brilliant. Obviously, Wrexham bringing almost 800. Like I say, weather's going to be like this. It's going to be a fantastic day.
Perfect weather for football, isn't it? And really, really looking forward to this one. Wrexham have spent a lot of money in this season and brought a lot of good players in, a lot of Football League players. So be excited to see how it all goes down tomorrow. I'll be interested to see how Wrexham perform and how we respond from Tuesday night as well. After such a positive performance last Saturday, we need more of that.
And obviously, Matt, as ever, you managed to catch up with Andy Woodman on this and numerous other subjects. And here's what he had to say.
So, Andy, busy time since we last caught up and two games in that period. And between those two, a real contrast in emotions at the full-time whistle.
Yeah, I mean, I think the two results were both different emotions. The result Saturday was a cup game, which I was delighted for us to get through against a good Solihull team. So we got ourselves into the semi-final, so that was great. Quick turnaround and off to Halifax, which was the rearranged fixture. And I actually thought we did all right. I thought we played well. And I thought we was unlucky not to find ourselves in front at half-time. And in the second half, we pushed a little bit. But we just couldn't get the goal. And then they scored a great goal from sort of 25 yards out. Which is, as a goalkeeper, where you want your guys to take their shots from. And on this occasion, it was a great strike, went in. So, you know, margins, it's margins. And on the night, we just didn't get the goal that we needed. I thought it was definitely worthy of a draw.
And as a result of Saturday's win, looking back at that one, obviously that pitted us into the semi-finals of the FA Trophy and York City, the visitors. What's your thoughts on that draw?
Yeah, well, I haven't thought too much about that, as crazy as that seems, because I think we've got to make sure that we get this league form right, because that's what we were set out to do from the beginning of the season, to make sure that we was up there. And we have a couple of games in hand, I believe, on a couple of teams. So, you know, as nice as that is, the cup, my job is to make sure that we get in amongst that group at the top half of the table and sort of hopefully put ourselves in and around the playoff positions. So we need to start getting some wins in the league, starting Saturday against a very good Wrexham side.
And we talked about the goalkeepers on Tuesday night, and we're in a rare situation in the National League where actually, strictly speaking, we've got two number ones, haven't we, really?
Yeah, and I think, you know, Mark Cousins has been brilliant for us, and he still will be brilliant for us. Ellery's come in, and I explained to Mark why I put Ellery in for a game or two. That's not to say Mark won't go back in. So, yeah, and like you say, we've got two number ones, and that's the position, probably the only position on the pitch that I wanted to create a bit more competition, you know, and make sure that everyone's on top of their game. Ellery done brilliant the other night. I thought he was fantastic. You know, when we were trying to push to get an equaliser, he kept us in the game with some good saves, like Mark has as well. So, so like I said, we've got two number ones, so it's a nice position for me to be in.
During the last week as well, you've welcomed Ali Al-Hamadi and James Bennings into the team. Some fans will have seen how they play, but how have they settled in general?
Yeah, really good. I mean, James is a local boy that knows a few of our players, so it was a nice transition for him to come in. He's a player that we played against him in the season at Aldershot. He's a very good player, keep gets on the ball. So we wanted to make sure that we added another player in there for the sort of running. And Ali, you know, I mean, Ali's a very similar sort of player to George, really. Runs in behind, works hard, and he's got a little bit of bite about him. So we wanted to make sure we just had enough numbers in the building to sort of try and make sure that we, you know, we could get across the line and then keep our performances going in the league as the games come thick and fast.
And the last two games, as you said, against informed teams, another one coming up tomorrow with a visit of Wrexham. Big crowd expected, big day.
Yeah, look, I think I don't want to be sounding like a broken record, but these clubs are in riches are so far in front of us, and it's obvious, I know that, but I always like us when we play against these teams. I always think that we see a real quality of what we're about. So, you know, the numbers aside of what they've brought their players for and how much they've got compared to us, it's 11 versus 11, and I've got 11 players that I know every week giving me their everything. So I'm really looking forward to the game. It's going to be a good atmosphere, and hopefully we can churn out a good result.
Andy, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Pleasure to hear from Andy as always, Matt. Obviously, Saturday's one game, but the game's come thick and fast, and we're off to Yeovil on Tuesday.
Absolutely, yeah. We're back off to Somerset to take on Yeovil. Again, a tough place to go to. Yeovil currently 14th in the National League table. Been an up and down season for them. Obviously, they did have the victory here last time out on the night. Of course, former Bromley player Charlie Wakefield scoring one of the goals as well. Bromley did win at Huish Park last season by 2-1. It was a bizarre last-minute own goal from Ruben Reid that gave Bromley a 2-1 victory.
Oh, that was that during COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, sensational.
What a weird goal.
It was just you, me, Jerry. That was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Oh, that was such a good night.
An incredible evening, that, and Bromley fans will
what
be hoping for a similar result after a disappointing result against them here earlier on this season. We managed to catch up with someone from Yeovil Town. We always like to get a foot in the opposition camp and hear direct from them. And we had the pleasure this time of hearing from BBC Somerset commentator Sheridan Robbins. And here's what she had to say.
It's been a really tough season for Yeovil Town. It's been a mixture of fantastic runs. Just before Christmas, Yeovil went 11 games unbeaten. Of course, beating Bromley in the process. And you really thought that there's always that one team, isn't there, that makes that late push for the playoffs, and that might just be Yeovil. But of course now the run has changed somewhat. It's really taken the wind out of our sails, just not getting the results perhaps that performances have warranted. Got a very, very small squad, which has been really stretched in recent weeks, so it just hasn't gone the way that we hoped it would. It was always going to go sort of one or two ways. And unfortunately, Yeovil Town now sit mid-table. But it's a very young side. It's a very tenacious side. And perhaps that naivety is something that's meant that the results haven't quite gone Yeovil's way, particularly, you know, being 1-0 up for so long at Notts County and not being able to hold out. Results like that, they really have an impact on players, don't they? So it's been... it's been probably a season of just ups and downs, really. I think 14th, 13th is probably about where the squad is, but they've shown so much potential in some of their performances. So it's just a case of you look back at key moments where what might have been. But if Darren Sahl can sign a new contract and can ensure that some of the players are still here next year, I think he has really something to build on. And I think that is what would excite Yeovil Town fans to see how they would progress after a full season behind them, because, you know, a lot of them haven't had a club for the whole season. A lot of them have been sort of at three or four clubs, namely sort of Jordan Barney, even Grant Smith had three clubs last season. So it's all just about them really making sure that they get their careers back on track. And I think Darren Sahl's done a wonderful job with them, but they are a work in progress. In terms of Bromley, over the past few seasons, Yeovil have had a really good record against Bromley. I mean, I remember the game at Huish Park where a last minute Ruben Reid own goal meant that Bromley did finally get 3 points against Yeovil Town at Huish Park. So it's going to be a tough game, but I think sometimes when you have that form against a side, it really does up the ante. Yeovil's form at Huish Park has not been the best, so they really need to improve that. Dover on Saturday. I mean, of course, you would hope that Yeovil Town managed to get 3 points there and then maybe go on a little run again. It's certainly been a season of runs of form. So all depending on the result on Saturday, I expect Yeovil to really come at Bromley. Bromley, you know, pushing for the playoffs, having a really great season. But Yeovil have played better against those good sides. So I'm expecting a performance and hopefully the 3 points for Yeovil Town on Tuesday.
Thank you to Sheridan for that. Like we say, it's always great to catch someone from the opposition camp. A huge thank you to Sheridan for her time on that one. Always always great to hear a differing perspective.
We're on the supports coach headed down there?
We are indeed. And don't forget, there are still spaces on that supporters coach if you want to come and join us. BromleyFC.tv, book your space on the
supporters
coach.
No, there are other people on there, it's me and Matt.
Yeah, we won't just be approaching you for conversations throughout the journey. It's always a good laugh on the supporters coach, and we know the usual suspects will be on there as well. But do come and join us. Tickets for the game also available on the website, so go and check that out. Come and support Bromley on the night.
Oh, Matt, another week.
Another week, another podcast. We're done, aren't we?
We're done.
Well, we've done everything on this several page list that we're just going through now. But
I thought this was unscripted.
Thank you so much for everybody who's listened in, not only today, but obviously for the past 100 episodes. Your support is appreciated, and we couldn't do this without you. It's been a pleasure once again. Thank you, Jeff, as always. Don't forget to come on down, back the boys against Wrexham tomorrow. It's a big game. We need your support. BromleyFC.tv, get your tickets, and we'll see you there. Take care, everyone.
You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I